It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, July 4th. I'm Patricia Naft. The weather is looking more clear and dry after several days of rainstorms and a danger of flooding. Andrew Lyons, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service, says the rain was right on time.
We've definitely started to delve into our monsoon season, which takes place early July and lasts sometimes through August and into September. Can't give you too many specifics on how the summer is going to shape up, but July tends to be our wettest month, so we could very well see a lot of precipitation.
The temperatures will also rise when the storm systems leave the area. The 4th of July may be the peak of summer vacation, but the next school year is approaching, and with it, changes to vaccination exemptions. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Starting this fall, families who want non-medical exemptions for their child will have to fill out forms every year. The change comes from a state bill passed in 2014 and a decision from the Board of Health. This is Rachel Herlihy, the Director for Disease Control, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment.
So it used to be just a one-time deal. You'd sign on the line once and your child was exempt from these vaccines. And what happened through that Board of Health rulemaking process is that the Board of Health said, you know, we'd like parents to revisit that decision more often.
To help with that change, the forms are streamlined and available online now, but they also have extra information.
So for each of the vaccines that is required for school entry, there's a very short summary of the vaccine and the disease, and then there's links to places where you can find additional information for parents that might want to know a bit more about those vaccines or about the diseases that they prevent.
The end goal, she says, is to increase awareness and to make sure parents understand what they're doing, making sure they're not just doing it because it's easier than going to the doctor. Herlihy is quick to point out that they're not trying to stop a parent from getting an exemption.
And so, again, it's not our intention to prevent those from parents from being able to exempt their children. We just want to make sure that they're making those decisions with all of the information possible.
The new forms can also be returned to the CDPHE or the local school district. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Across the country, power companies are rushing to keep pace with a changing energy landscape. Many operate on outdated business models that never accounted for people producing their own electricity or clean energy mandates. That's prompted Arizona's largest utility to pursue a new way of charging its customers, one that no other utility has done before. Will Stone with KJZZ in Phoenix reports for Inside Energy.
Julie and Jim Powell's air conditioner has been fending off the 100-degree summertime heat since they bought their traditional Sun City home 2 decades ago.
It's been a workhorse. It's probably 20 years old, but it does a job.
Like many in this retirement community, the Powells enjoy the golf and bowling here, but they also spend a lot of time at home, so they keep close tabs on their electric bill.
I'm a turn the fan off, turn the light off, turn everything off person. I've got my husband convinced his TV goes off automatically.
But they soon may have something else they need to keep a close eye on.
If you take a look at the bill, 183, 262, 250.
Inside, Jim leafs through their monthly summer bills from Arizona Public Service. No big surprises. But ever since he's heard about a new charge that could be tacked onto his bill, one linked to using a lot of power at certain times, he's begun to worry.
With this demand charge, it could be out of the blue every month something different.
That's because this new monthly charge would be based on that 1 hour during the week between 3 and 8 p.m. when the couple uses the most energy. So Jim wonders, what if they have to turn up the AC one evening while his wife cooks?
All of a sudden, we've spiked our kilowatt usage way up from what it normally is for a short period of time, but yet we're going to get stuck with a bill for that. And I don't think that's right.
While this kind of rate's been around for decades, mostly for commercial customers, APS would be the first utility in the country to mandate it for practically all residential customers. And the Powells aren't the only ones upset. Within a week of APS filing its rate request in early June, consumer activists were protesting, with signs like surge pricing is unfair and profits over people. State regulators have already received hundreds of public comments opposing the rate change.
It's not as complicated as some make it sound.
That's Stephanie Layden of APS.
Really, if you just stagger the use of your major appliances, that's an excellent way to manage your demand.
This isn't a new charge on top of existing ones, but rather a different way of carving up the bills, she says. And some customers will will save money. Others won't.
It better aligns how much customers pay with the costs they impose on the system.
And that's key to why APS wants this demand charge. Most of its costs are fixed, things like substations, transmission lines, power plants. All that infrastructure must be in place to meet peak demand, which drives up what the utility pays. Layden says demand charges incentivize customers to put less strain on the grid, particularly during those hot summer afternoons and evenings.
In order to send customers a signal that says our costs are driven by demand, if you can lower your demand, you can lower your costs.
There's still a lot of unknowns around this and whether demand charges send a price signal that is effective.
That's James Sherwood, who studies rate design at the Rocky Mountain Institute, speaking via Skype. He says there's a void of data about how residential customers respond to demand rates because it's never really been tried on a large scale. That could be on the horizon for many utilities across the country as the energy landscape changes, in part because of distributed energy resources, think battery storage or rooftop solar panels, which are now sending power the other way.
That creates some challenges when the rates people are being charged were designed really around one-way power flow, and now you have this other way. It kind of complicates the situation.
About 10% of APS residential customers voluntarily use a demand charge, and a survey by the utility shows most are saving money. One person who's on the demand charge and not happy is Pat Quinn.
Certainly good for the company. It's not good for consumers at all.
Quinn is the former director of the state's Consumer Office for Utilities and says demand charges can lead to unexpected swings in your monthly bill. Last year, his charge varied from $30 to $150. He says many people may not be able to design their lifestyle according to how they use energy.
This would certainly cause people to have to look at and change how they operate. And they'd have to actually understand it and have the tools available to do something about it.
APS hasn't announced plans to give consumers new technology yet, but it's undertaking a major education campaign as the rate case proceeds at the Arizona Corporation Commission in the coming year. For Inside Energy, I'm Will Stone in Phoenix.
Inside Energy is a public media collaboration focusing on America's energy issues. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.